On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we jump in our own DeLorean as we look back at all the great films we watched and discussed for our 2015 year-end countdown. Is it a top 10 countdown or a top 5 countdown twice? How much do we really like Star Wars? All that and much more in 3, 2, 1... Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 86. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan Weah.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission.
That's awesome that you were doing Rowdy Roddy Piper, because, what's that look?
What? That was the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh, okay. I was excited because, did you see that tweet that John Wilkerson sent?
I did see that, yes.
So, I saw a trailer, I watched, a few weeks ago, what is it called? The Masked Saint?
Yes.
And it looked dumb as all get out. Okay, but I'll watch it. And it's based on a true story?
I can't remember it.
A pastor by day, like vigilante or something by night?
Batman by night.
I don't know. Brendan, what did we talk about the last episode? That was last year?
Last year. We haven't had episodes since last year.
Wow. Man, goofing off over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, last time it was the Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished up our Christmas season with White Christmas. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye,
yes.
those other two women.
Rosemary Clooney
and Vera Allen. Allen.
It was
Ellen.
A joke. It was a joke. That's not funny, though. That's disrespectful.
It was funny to me. Next time, I know better.
It was a great discussion. I kind of feel silly referring our customers back all the way back to Christmas of 2015.
Yeah.
But go back if you didn't listen to White Christmas, our episode on White Christmas. It's a good picture of the church in action, how we should be treating each other. Anyway, go back to 2015, watch that. I'm going to miss Christmas season.
Why?
Because that's just a fun month doing all four.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this episode right here, Brendan, what are we doing?
Oh, well, we're not really doing a movie.
What are we doing?
We're doing 10 movies, really.
Whoa. This is going to be the longest episode
this
ever.
This is our 2015 year-end countdown.
Yes!
Even though technically it is 2016 now.
Well, we took a week
2015.
Off.
Yeah, we took a break.
Technically, this is my favorite show of the year now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Preparing for this, thinking back on last year, what we did. This is a time where we are able to tie everything together in a way. You know, hey, let's look back at the year and you're going to cover what movies are you gonna? You're gonna be talking about your Monday movie reviews.
Yes, I'm talking about movies that I went to go see in the theaters, and then that week wrote a review, and just putting them in a. Well, see, I didn't really rank mine in a certain order. I started at the beginning of the year. What was playing at the beginning, and
right. You did it in chronological order.
Yeah.
But what was your criteria to pick the best films?
Well, just how I liked them.
Okay. Okay.
So and how I liked them, and really that's about it.
Well, so you're going to do pick the five top movies, your favorite movies that you covered this mm-hmm. last year. I'm going to pick the top five podcasts that we did, the movies that we actually covered on the Finding Christ in Cinema podcast. And I didn't necessarily rank them in order either, but I put them in an order because I'm going to give my beginning of the year gift to listeners is we're going to set you up with a movie marathon.
that you can sit while you are sitting on
your double-decker couch
with your buddy. You're going to have to strap them in because you're going to hold them like all day long. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do it over the course of a weekend, and it's going to be five awesome movies that everybody loves to watch anyway. And maybe if they haven't seen any of the particular films, they will enjoy watching it. And you will be able to use them in chronological order to explain the gospel, to explain what it is to be a Christian, to explain what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is, it really is my favorite year. So, trailer? Do you want to play any kind of a trailer? Mm-hmm. We don't have a trailer. How do you do a trailer for this?
We don't really have a trailer.
Oh, right. Well, then let's just jump right into it.
Yes. Oh, for me first?
Go ahead.
I was responding to David Gaddy of our sister show over in Texas,
The Theonauts!
In the chat room right now, he's putting some crazy stuff. Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken?
Okay.
What is that even?
I don't know. Does a Chinese chicken have a pigtail? That's an old song.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I
shouldn't have said that. Okay, go.
So anyway, like I was saying, my list, I started in January of last year, and I just went through the year chronologically, and whatever movie I liked, and I had to switch my list around a couple times, because after I thought about it, maybe this should be on the list instead of this movie.
It's hard.
This or that one, yeah. So first off, starting in January of last year with Martin Luther King Day. Selma.
Okay.
Selma. I really like this film. Of course, I have a couple bones to pick with it, but everyone has bones to pick with
every movie.
So yeah, that's neither here nor there, but it's a very good film. It was shot well. The performances were done well. Was that my phone or your phone?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's probably mine. I'm going to go ahead and put that on silence before it gets any more distracting. All right. Distracting. Well, it distracted.
We're
a little
doing
bit.
A show here, you know.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, back to Selma. Really liked it. And it really spoke to my admiration for Martin Luther King Jr.
And how?
Well, really because it was his love for God and his love for God's people that served as the foundation for his operations.
Does this come through in the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. It could have been a little bit more. I think they were... Unfortunately, and see, this is one of those bones.
They were afraid.
That's one of my bones. I think they were too afraid to push the religious side, so they focused on, you know, the broader racial aspect of it. But it's in there, and it's in there a heavy number of times.
All right.
So that does come through in the movie, and just to throw out a key little text to go with it, I actually got two of them for this movie.
Good.
Psalm 37, verse 5. From the NILT version, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, audience, all of my verses are from the NILT version. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust Him, and He will help you. And then we pretty much get the same thing from Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 3. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Which, something just hit me. You've got David saying that, and then Solomon.
Yes, so, his son. Oh, see, and that really drives home that point of letting our relationship with God serve.
Be the foundation.
Yes.
Serve as the foundation for what we do.
And in David's case, because that was true for him, he passed that on to his son.
Yep. Now, you know, who's to say whether Solomon kept it? Like David did, who, you know, we can...
Well, we know that he went off into the pawpaw patch for quite a while.
Yeah, but, he did.
But either way... to see him in heaven.
Hey, I am making that statement, I'm just...
All right, so, well, I am. So, Selma, letting our relationship with God serve as the foundation from which we operate. And you think that comes through well in the movie so that people can point that out to their friends when they're watching it?
Most definitely.
All right, my turn?
Yes, sir.
I put these in an order to tell a story. Again, I already said that. But these are the five movies that, when I think over the past year of Finding Christ in Cinema, these are the films that pop in my head automatically. I've been looking through the list and going, oh, yeah, we covered that movie, and we did a great job on a bunch of these movies. In fact, I think we did a great job on all the movies that we talked about on the show, but these ones really stand out in my mind. They were helpful to me. So number five, it was Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 49, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah!
All right. And the main theme that I want our listeners to take out of that, when you go back and re-listen to that episode and you watch this movie with your friends, is hope. A hope. Red, we know, does not understand hope. That's why he has abandoned it. And like Brooks, he became institutionalized. What happened to Brooks when he left the prison?
Oh, man. He was so institutionalized. Yes. He was so used to and accustomed to way of life in prison.
And he was important, and he had a job, and he had a purpose.
He had purpose.
Yes.
He had hope.
Yeah.
In prison. But once he was out of prison, he lost all of that. He had nothing to hold on to.
Now, I submit that hope that he had, and I agree with you, but it was a false hope. It wasn't a biblical hope. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But Red followed the same suit. Man, when he got out, all he wanted to do was get back in. And you used that to talk about being institutionalized by sin. And that was a great point that you made in that episode. So go back and listen to it. But, Andy understood hope. He understood that hope in its true New Testament form is confidence. It's doubtless, and it is assured. Now, because of the relationship that Andy and Red had, Andy was able to disciple Red. Red was there long before Andy.
Yeah.
But Andy discipled Red. Andy was able to give that reason for the hope within him. And he had the confidence or hope that Red would follow him, would follow in hope. That was the main point that I brought. And here's a key text that we used in that episode was Hebrews 11, 15 through 16 out of the NET, the New English Translation. It says, in fact, if they had been thinking, we're talking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness wanderings and how they wanted to go back, right? Just like Brooks and just like Red. Let's go back to prison. It's better there. It's better in prison. Mm. If they had been thinking of that land that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is now, they aspire to a better land. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, just as Andy prepared a place for Red. When Red put his faith in what Andy was saying to him about this hope, and he said, I know that at the end of this road, I'm going to have what Andy promised that I'm going to have. That's a great first step of explaining the gospel to your friends, and you can do it with the Shawshank Redemption. It's this hope of a better land, a better life, a better city prepared by God for us.
Well, I'm going to take that segue that you most graciously provided.
Uh-huh.
Because something we talked about with the Shawshank Redemption is its portrayal in the film of a lot of dirty stuff.
Yes.
A lot of
filth. You have to have your filters on for that film.
Filters got to be on.
Yes.
And
industrial strength filters.
There you go. And I've been looking through our notes constantly, and I still can't find it, so forgive me. But someone who provided feedback, so that might narrow it down just a little bit. Someone somewhere said that salvation is only as beautiful as soon as you know, or as for as much as you know what you're being saved from.
Yes, yes.
And that was a heavy touchstone while discussing Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
For my next movie, it was also another heavy touchstone, Mad Max.
Okay, and Fury how Road. So?
Well, think about it. Furiosa
Furiosa.
Furiosa, not Furiosa. Furiosa was trying to save the women, the concubines, the harem, whatever you want to call them, the mothers.
The breeders.
The breeders, thank you. That's what they were, yeah. She was trying to save them from Immortan Joe. But to us as the audience, we wouldn't understand how beautiful that salvation was had we not seen the depravity of Immortan Joe, how bad he was. We wouldn't get why they needed saving had we not seen that some of those...
Depravity is the word.
Disgusting, help me out, disgusting, filthy, like you said, depraved.
Lecherous.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm getting flashbacks of it now. But we see that, and then going back to what you're saying with Shawshank Redemption, looking for that hope for a better land. Furiosa, she already had a place in her head. We're going back to the Greenland.
Yeah.
We're going back to the green
springs of water.
The green place.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you know, throughout the film we realize, oh, that place doesn't exist anymore. It's been weeded out. So they have to go back to the Citadel because that is now where all the water is. That's where all the hope is for that world.
David Gaddy is saying that you got that that notion from Brian Godawa on an episode of The Theonauts. Oh, I'm sorry, on an episode of our sister show, The Theonauts!
That's it! No wonder I couldn't find it in FCC, because of The Theonauts!
Because David was challenging him. Hey, some of the things that you're writing in these books are pretty nasty.
Yeah.
He says, yes, they are.
Oh, see, now there's a reason why David was in the chat room today.
See?
That is why.
A God moment. Thank you, David, for obeying the call of the Lord and showing up in the chat room today, because Brian Godawa says the level of redemption is only as powerful as the level of depravity.
That's it.
Yes.
See, okay, I honestly was thinking it was something that, you know, Patron St. Philip said, or maybe even Patron St. John Wilkerson.
Yeah, or Ron, because Ron, when he chooses to leave comments, they're always real doozies.
yeah. So I was thinking it had to be one of those three. Who was it?
Yeah.
I kept looking. I could never find it. Thank you, David, for providing that.
Yes. Now the show will be complete.
Yeah.
We could stop now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no, we don't. It's only 16 minutes.
Oh,
we'll do that.
Okay. Right.
So, yes, my second pick for 2015 is Mad Max Fury Road. In order to value our salvation, we have to know what we're being saved from. And my key text to go along with that, Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. And because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. And what I'm seeing in the picture, in the film, is that we were dead in the sins of acting like a Immortan Joe.
Yeah.
And thinking that we could abuse whatever gifts we have and cut down other people to do that. That's how I lived in sin. And, you know, unfortunately, still am there. But I'm made alive in Christ.
Amen.
And for me personally, it's a nice little transition. And hopefully some viewers will share in that.
All right. So. Now, Shawshank Redemption that I just talked about is that hope. And so Red followed Andy. He became a Christian. Okay? Because of that hope. Now, number four on my list, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 62, Calvary.
Oh, yeah.
A powerful film. So what do we do once we are a believer? What do we do once we are a disciple of Christ? Well, Father James, FCC's very own Brendan Gleeson. Oh, man. Woo-hoo! Killer performance. He is a clear picture of a Christian. Clear. He's a disciple of Christ. Is he perfect? No. Brendan, going back to what you were just saying, you were confessing your own sins. We all have sins to confess.
Mm-hmm.
So, but was he demonstrating his faith continually? Yes. Is he saved by his works? No. Do his works show all around him that he is a participant in the kingdom? Yes. How do we know? Because he is persecuted and hated, even though all, everybody knows, everybody confesses, everybody asserts, everyone around him knows and says audibly, he's a good priest. He's the good priest. He is covered in the dust of Jesus. So what's so important about this film, because, you know, remember, so many people out there, unbelievers, think that Christians are hypocrites. They don't understand what a hypocrite is. There are plenty of Christians that are hypocrites. But I saw a meme posted on Facebook this past week, and I should have saved it. I should have made a screenshot of it or whatever. I think it was from Grace Centered. And it says, Christians who sin are not hypocrites. That's called humanity. Christians who say that they don't sin are hypocrites.
Oh, look out.
Okay? Yeah. And that's perfect example in Father James. He stumbles in this film. He's scared. He's worried, but he continues on. He presses on. He knew full well what his end was. He had hope. What?
Just pass it over here.
Well,
pass the ball. James, whenever you're done.
James chapter 2, verse 18.
Oh, he wrote this book?
Yes. Wow. Father James, chapter 2, verse 18, out of the NET, New English Translation. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. Show it to me. Show me your faith without your works. And I will show you faith by my works. That's Father James. Perfect? No. A follower? Yes. Sanctified? Yes.
First of all,
yes.
Talking about Father James being perfect, no, of course he's not. But he's still getting better. And one brief little clip I love in the movie is when he's first offered a beer at the beginning of the film, and he says, "Oh no, I can't do that." And then the bartender's like, "Oh what? You don't like it at all, huh? Do you?" And then Father James goes, "No, I liked it too much."
Too much.
See, to me, that shows like he's already growing in a sense of that type of discipline.
And he confessed his sins to this guy. So he just took all the ammo away from that bartender because he confessed. Mm. No, he is not a hypocrite. He's the opposite of a hypocrite. This is a man following Jesus as well as he can and stumbling along the way, as we all do. Mm-hmm. Brendan, what do you got?
Just one more point about Calvary, because, you know, we get to talk about Calvary, we're going to go on forever.
Such an awesome movie. The filters, though, filters.
Oh, yeah, definite filters. And again, what Brian Godawa said, you know, you can only realize.
Yeah.
Let me quote David's summation of it. The level of redemption is only as powerful as the level of depravity. And this film is chock full of depravity.
Yeah.
But the thing about Father James being a good priest, a quote good priest,
he doesn't judge.
That's what the man who has threatened his life says at the very beginning.
Yes,
he says it wouldn't do any good to, you know, to kill a bad priest, so I'm going to kill a good priest to make my point.
Yep, nobody care if I kill a bad priest.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But that's another point about Father James. The whole time he does not, he doesn't walk around people. He walks right up to them. He knows what state they're in, and he's going to minister to them regardless. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what it is to be a Christian.
I got to watch it again when I get home. Okay, so my next film, Mad Max Fury Road, that happened in the spring, and then, you know, you get later down to later of the year. Oh, look, hey, we're in September, and here's this new M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Hey!
Called The Visit.
Yeah?
And I really enjoyed this movie.
Okay, this is the one where the kids are sent to their grandparents or creepy grandparents' house or something? Okay.
Yes. And just to add a little intrigue to, if you haven't seen it yet, which if you get the chance to see it, you need to see it.
Okay.
No, never mind. They'll spoil it.
Oh, okay.
I got to be careful with M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah. Because everything involves his twist.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know there's going to be a twist, so just be ready for it.
Okay.
But the film, the performances in the film are top notch. The story is really cool. The character development is really good. You're going to enjoy this film.
Or else.
Oh, no. Now, the main, and I'm going to try to say this without spoiling it. Also, again, Thank you, David. He said he loved the visit. I'm glad you did. The main message of the film, though, can be found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27.
And what does that say?
And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
Yeah.
And there's a there, and as these characters develop in this film, I don't, Michael, I just don't want to spoil it for you.
I don't want you to spoil it for me.
So, but you see how anger has affected all these different characters, how it is affecting certain characters, how it has affected certain characters beyond the point of redemption.
Oh,
how it may influence characters in the future. There's a whole spectrum of internal anger in this film, and it's really cool to see.
Okay, I got to put it on my own really personal cool list.
So, yes, please do. Listeners, if you haven't seen it, please do. And don't let the sun go down while you're angry.
All right. All right. So, Shawshank Redemption, hope is gonna cause us to follow Christ. That hope that we expect what he promises us, that we have confidence in what he has to say. Once we are following him, once we are saved and we are Christians, then we put our faith into action because faith works. You know, that's a double entendre. It could be used several different ways. Faith works.
And works faith.
And it works. And it works.
Yeah.
And then, but here's another picture of Christianity, and this is really the movie that I think of most often.
This has been what you've been keyed up on.
It really is episode number 65 of Finding Christ in Cinema, Pacific Rim.
Woo!
A perfect picture, or the best explanation I have ever received in my life of Christian unity. I was raised in a denomination that taught that Christian unity means that we all have to agree on every single point of doctrine, or one of us is not a Christian. Okay? You have to agree across the board. That's what Christian unity is.
That almost sounds like the most recent topic on our sister show,
the Theonauts!
Because they had their episode 79 all about denominations.
Yes. Yes. And so what that is not Christian unity. It's the exact opposite of Christian unity. Thankfully, Guillermo del Toro, the great Christian theologian, comes along and perfectly explains it in Pacific Rim. The giant robots, the Jaegers, are like the church. The body of believers, you know, right? The church, the body of believers, the temple of God, they're all synonymous. And it is operated by individual Christians being of one mind, pictured perfectly in that film via the neural handshake and being drift compatible, right? Okay, so what happens when you are drift compatible and you enter into that neural handshake, then you are together able to move the Jaeger forward safely, right? They don't think the same thing, these pilots. They don't even have to agree on everything.
They may not even have to like each other.
They have to be unified in purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why? To save the world from death.
Oh.
To save the world from death. Okay, so I have a couple of passages here. First one, 1 Peter 3:18 out of the NILT. Peter says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. What does that mean? Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Oh, man. But his buddy Paul also says the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, out of the New English Translation. Paul says, complete my joy and be of the same mind. How do you be of the same mind? By having the same love, being united in spirit. Not the spirit, being united in spirit. Will, decisions, purpose, you know, as he says, and having one purpose. There you go. Complete my joy and be of the same and be of the same mind by having the same love, being united in spirit, and having one purpose. Work together. Enter into that neural handshake. Move the body forward to do good. That is Christian unity. And Pacific Rim, thank you, Guillermo del Toro. I don't know what seminary he went to, but man, he earned that degree.
There you go. So, moving further along in the year 2015, we get to a little October hit that has been lambasted in the trailers very early on in the year. A little story about, you know, once again, Hollywood trying to save Matt Damon.
You know, how much money has been spent saving Matt Damon? See,
that's the question that arises in the movie The Martian, which is number 4 on my list. That's the question, and the answer is it doesn't matter.
Oh! Oh!
Because in the film, they ultimately value his life enough to put up whatever kind of money it takes.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And that is the whole point.
Yes!
So before I get into the key tags, let's just talk about the movie. Michael, you recently just saw it.
I just saw it.
Okay, what did you think?
It was beautiful. I mean, you know, watching it in HD on the plasma screen, and I'm a sci-fi geek, and I love space travel, I always have, and so watching the film and whatnot, the drama, see, I like, because I was already prepared, because you said, this is no Interstellar. This is, you know, you can know exactly what's going on in this film. Yeah. There's no tricks.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you don't have to use all, you know, too much brain power to figure out what's going on. And so this is a film that you can enjoy. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. And the drama and the, you know, the suspense. Mm-hmm. Right up. Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Okay. Here's a little spoiler alert if you haven't watched this. I'm just really giving away a scene. When the rescue finally happening, and he has to strip that ship completely down, and he breaks down and weeps.
Yeah.
Oh, that got me.
Yeah.
That got me.
Yeah.
You know, because he held so, he was stoic, you know, the whole time, this whole process. And he was very, you know, he was very analytical about, hey, I'm a scientist. I'm the greatest botanist on this planet.
Yeah.
You know, and that humor and just keeping himself going. But then when he knows, hey, I just already know what I'm going to talk about when we cover this film here soon.
Good.
But when he knows that he's, you know, the rescue is here, then he breaks down. Mm. And that was moving.
Yeah.
Very moving. So that's what I thought of the film.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would.
It got the accolades that it deserves.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I personally hadn't really cared for Matt Damon in anything beforehand. Maybe a couple things.
Yeah.
Talk back to Interstellar. He was, for what he was in that movie.
Stinker. A duplicitous stinker. Yeah.
There you go. Let's just go ahead and say it. A jerk.
Yes.
for being a jerk in that movie, he was really good at it.
Yeah.
Now, I recently found out that Good Will Hunting is on Amazon Prime, so I'm going to have to check.
I've never seen that.
See, I haven't either. And I heard that's...
Is that with his buddy? Is that with Batfleck?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Because those guys are like best friends in real life.
Okay. Although they've yet to cameo in each other's movies in a while now, so I don't know what's going on. They might be breaking up or something.
Yeah.
But the main point of The Martian, as enjoyable as of a film that it is, and believe me, it is very enjoyable. You will love it.
Yeah.
Especially the whole Sean Bean meta joke.
Yes. Happens. Oh, yes. That was great.
The biggest geek moment I can think of in movie history. Moving on.
Has some fantastic acting, great characters all across the board. The characters are all fantastic.
Oh, and actually, something you said about it being science fiction. It is science fiction, but it's almost like a different class of science fiction.
Yes.
Because it's not aliens taking over the world. It's not
far-fetched.
The world's going to blow up.
You don't have to suspend or suspend belief, really.
Yes, exactly. This is believable, yeah, because the drama isn't in the science fiction part of it. The drama is the conflicts on Earth.
And it's a man versus nature.
It's man story. Well, it's man versus nature on Mars.
Yeah, and man
but
versus
then
man.
But then it grows into man versus man, yeah, because of the rescue efforts. And
yeah.
But that's what it's all about, those rescue efforts. And in the movie, they decided that his life is worth saving, no matter the cost.
Yes.
Which is really how God sees us.
Amen.
We are worth saving, no matter the cost. And what kind of price did we have on our heads, Michael? It cost us our lives, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the wages of sin, the wages of sin is what you earn, because you know, yep, you earn wages.
You're owed it.
Yeah, that's what. Hey, this is what you're owed. Yeah. Here you go. Stamp, done, complete.
Yeah.
For sin, it's death. But someone else took that death in our place. And, oh, it just happens to be God's own son.
Yes. Hey, no price is too high, God said. Wow. No price is too high to go and get Matt Damon. No price is too high.
God said that himself.
Yeah.
Key text. Of course, you all know it. John 3:16.
What does that say?
Well, for this is how God loves the world. He gave his own one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But then there's another one that just recently came to my mind because of some, you know, certain podcasts I've been listening to. More on that in the well-mannered frivolity section.
Coming up.
Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Matt Damon, they were actually wanting to serve other people by researching and seeing how they could use the planet Mars,
mm-hmm,
to help the people of Earth. They were doing a service to the people of Earth, and yet, well, it didn't work out. But yeah, just for the other part of that verse, a ransom. What was the ransom that NASA had to pay, that the world had to pay, to bring back Matt Damon? It didn't matter.
Yep. Didn't matter. All right. So in the Shawshank Redemption, again, we have the hope that's going to lead us to our Savior.
Now, how new is this hope, Michael?
How new? And then once we are saved, once we are in that heavenly city that God has prepared for us, then as good Christians, we put our faith into action. Why? Because we're serving others via our faith. And then we gather together with others of like mind, and we have Christian unity where we work together with the same purpose, the same spirit, in order to move the body together forward to accomplish good things. Okay. And then we are able to go out and to disciple others. And one way that you do that is via kindness, because kindness leads to repentance. Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 68. Are you ready? Oh, yes, that's right.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
That's right, Return of the Jedi. Oh, boy. Kindness leading to repentance. We had Sir Richard the Lionheart on that episode, Brendan, and his point was that Vader is redeemed through Luke's love, Luke's patience, his kindness, and assurance, Luke's assurance of the good that's within Vader. Anakin Skywalker, Luke is convinced that there is something in him that is going to cause him to repent. And he's assured of his chance to return to the light side of the Force. My point was that Luke sacrificed himself and took the full wrath of the dark side, sin, the dark side being sin. And by doing that, he gave the choice back to Anakin, to his father Anakin. He gave him the choice now to make in order to trust in the Son. It was the choice. Luke gave him the choice to resist that beast. Remember in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, what did God say to Cain? This is another one of my favorite passages because it sets up the gospel story mm-hmm. right from there. He says, why is your face so downcast, Cain? You know, if you do well, won't that lift you up? Sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to dominate you. Vader was dominated by sin. He was dominated by the emperor. He was dominated by the dark side. But Luke gave him the choice back by sacrificing himself. And because Anakin had that choice back, he cast off Darth Sidious. He cast off sin, and he chose to trust his son, or the son. Beautiful picture. Kindness leading to repentance. I have two verses for you. Second best book in the Bible, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Out of the NILT, New Living Translation. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you, Anakin? Does this mean nothing to you? Mm-hmm. Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? And then, again, we got the 1-2 punch of Paul and now Peter again. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter 3:15 out of the New Living Translation. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you in the wisdom God gave him, hearkening back to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. That's what Paul was saying to you. He was saying that the Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. Kindness of God. That's the greatest kindness. The greatest kindness ever shown is God, because it... no price tag is too high to go and get Matt Damon. So there you go. My number two film of 2015, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 68, Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Well, I'm glad you chose number two as episode six, because my number one, I can't really say one because it's the fifth final movie of my list, and it's really the final movie of 2015.
Yes, sir.
La 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 la.
Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Thank you, kids. Thank you. Hey, did we take those kids to the movies?
Oh, I put,
should we?
They fit in my pocket.
Oh, see, I need to get a bigger pocket.
I got little kids.
Anyway, yes.
The number one film of all time.
I don't say that, but...
the number one grossing film of all time.
Oh, grossing, yes. Because this week, that sucker beat out James Cameron's Avatar.
Thank you!
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, I liked Avatar.
I know you do. Yeah. That's okay.
It's the new Star Wars, right?
Oh, wait.
No. The Force Awakens is the new Star Wars.
Yes!
Am I right?
Yes, let's
Am
talk
I
about
right?
that.
I'll be here all
Am
week.
I right? Am I right? Try the veal.
Yeah. Don't forget to tip your waitress. We've already talked about it. There's a Monday movie review about it, and in which you've also provided a link to our discussion on last week's episode.
Yes.
Not last week.
So the video version of our first thoughts, yeah. Our initial thoughts.
So, I mean, what else do we need to say about it? It's a good film. It will fully immerse you into that galaxy far, far away, as every Star Wars film is wont to do.
Yes.
It will fully immerse you. Like I said in the Monday movie review, I personally had to watch it a couple of times just to...
because the first time you were,
I was, whoa,
yeah.
And then on the second time, I was really able to focus in.
For me, it was better the second viewing.
For me, it was too.
Because I was, just like what you said, I was able to, I know what's coming up. I got to pay better attention to what's going on.
Yes. That definitely helped me out.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, it's that simple, guys. And here's the little nugget that I got, at least for my review of it. I'm sure once we do it on the show, that point will change. I mean, it'll be a different point.
I can't wait to do this film.
Well, we got to, Michael. We got to. But Oh, what does Paul tell Timothy? He says, let no man despise thy youth.
Oh.
And you know, that's just such, it's a great thing that he says that. You know, it's tattooed over youth group walls everywhere. Was tattooed a good word? I thought so. it's just one of those phrases that you're like, oh, the veneration of childhood just seems to be a good thing in today's society. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yeah. Yes.
Because after all, from the mouths of babes.
And they're misusing it, aren't they?
Oh. Aren't they?
It's like, stop saying go to church. Stop using this for all youth group activities.
Let no man despise thy youth.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young.
Yeah.
You go ahead and be young. You do you.
Yep.
YOLO. YOLO.
YOLO.
YOLO. Marco. Yep. YOLO.
Boo.
No, but see, the thing is with this movie, and I think it's, I hope it's a clear enough picture to the public, because, Michael, there has been this trend that, you know, the younger you are, the more right you are.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's just not the case. In reality,
seldom does it hold up in reality.
Yeah, and it's definitely not the case biblically.
Yeah,
because we still need to be trained. We need to be discipled.
Yes,
we need that training. And let's just look at the example itself. When Paul says that to Timothy, he's not talking about, you know, because you're young, you already know what's right, and you're closer to God. Even when Jesus himself says, unless you're like a child, you ain't going to receive the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not. He's not talking about it like that.
Yeah.
What Paul's saying, because the situation for Timothy, he had people mocking him like, oh, who are you? You're not Paul. You didn't teach us this church stuff. Who are you? Paul's like, no. Remember what I taught you. Remember what you're still learning, what you're still growing through. Remember that.
He doesn't say, remember what you think is right.
Yeah, remember
how I trained you.
And Paul, by the authority of Christ himself.
Yes.
And Paul's always quick to point that out and say, look, I'm not speaking on my own authority.
Right.
I'm speaking on Christ's authority that he put in me, that he invested in me.
Because it just so happens I do have an inside line.
I do. I have a connection.
Yes.
a byline, if you will.
And you spent a lot of ink on paper defending that.
Yes.
I do have an inside connection, mm-hmm. people.
So the main point I got out of Star Wars The Force Awakens is remember your training.
Yeah.
And remember that you still need training, like we all do. I'm not saying anybody in particular. I'm mainly talking about myself.
Amen.
You know,
hey, we all,
you know,
we should always be disciples.
See, exactly. And hopefully Star Wars, The Force Awakens, can sort of wake people up to that idea.
I love it. That is great. And my favorite movie of the year, of course. Well, of course. It was a given. But number one on my list.
Oh, buddy.
This is the most important film that we covered in order to share the gospel with your friends, because it all starts right here. Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 57. You got the power of love.
It's the power of love.
It's the power to save. In Back to the Future.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so and here is why. Because all of the things that I set up to now, number two, back to number five, none of them matter. They don't matter at all unless you have number one. Mankind is in trouble, Brendan. We're in trouble in such a way that we can't get ourselves out of it. We can build all kinds of wonderful technology. We can go to Mars. We can go deep under the sea. We can upload the world's knowledge to the internet so it's at anybody's fingertips. Or, you know, there's 3.17 billion internet users in the world. That's 3.17 billion people that have the accumulation of mankind's knowledge at their fingertips, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't do us any good when it comes to the big question, because we cannot get ourselves out of the trouble that we're in. It takes something other to save us.
Mm.
Matt Damon could not save himself. He could preserve himself for a while. Couldn't save himself. So many movies that we covered have that as a theme. But this other thing that can save us.
Capital
O. it's the most unpredictable thing imaginable that Marty needs. And not just Marty. His siblings are relying on this unpredictable thing. Doc Brown is relying on this unpredictable thing. His parents, everybody is relying on this thing.
A bolt of lightning.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
we never know when or where one is going to strike.
What? We do now. We do now. Thanks to that crazy lady standing up on the rooftops.
That wild-eyed prophet.
Yes! Save the clock tower!
Interrupting Jennifer and Marty's kiss.
They're trying to kiss and smooch, and she's talking to save the crazy lady. She had the information. Why? Because she was sent there. There you go. Here's some information for you. She was right where she was supposed to be, passing on, thus saith the Lord. Okay. Now we know. The lightning strike is a eucatastrophe.
A yuca what?
Yes. Not a ukulele.
I play that catastrophe. I can play that.
Yes.
Thing. I can play the eucatastrophe.
That's a term coined by J.R.R. Tolkien. We talked about this on episode number 57. This term that he coined refers to the sudden turn of events at the end of a story, which ensures that the protagonist does not meet some terrible, impending, and very plausible doom, like death. The wages of sin is death. Here's your key text, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, out of the NILT. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And because of that, we know where the lightning has struck. We can show people the lightning is striking now. Accept it. Believe it. Put your faith in the light. Ride the lightning, as Metallica would say.
Oh, man.
And we're not referring to the electric chair, because that would go back to number one of last year, the Green Mile.
Yeah, old Sparky.
Not riding old Sparky. Ride the lightning. Ride Christ. Join with him. He is the other. He is the eucatastrophe. He is, no matter what we do, and Marty and Doc were able to do some amazing things. We're building time machines, and we're getting plutonium, you know, and all kinds, all these amazing things, and we're also, they're engineering, fixing the stuff that got goofed up, and they fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't save. Marty could not save himself. Got to get back in time? He couldn't. Couldn't. Until he listened to the prophet, the prophetess, and he knew where the lightning was striking, and that's Jesus Christ. And that is where it all starts. Without that, none of these other movies matter. Nothing that we talk about matters until you go to the lightning. Go to Christ. He's waiting for you. That's what you use when you're sitting on your double-decker couch, sitting with your friends. So it just sets you up with five movies. Make them watch them all. Hey, we're going to watch some of the greatest movies. And who's going to? I'm not going to watch any of those movies. No, they're going to want to watch all these. They probably haven't seen Calvary, so that's going to blow them away.
Oh, yes.
So there you go. That was my number one, Brendan. Hey, but we have more.
Oh, we have some definite honorable mentions.
Okay, run through yours.
Okay, first off, got to talk about Bridge of Spies.
Oh, yes.
Because
you had to get in some Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Of course I did. I had a hankering.
Yeah.
You know, I got a hankering for some Tom hankering.
We don't like that.
Yes.
I don't know.
I thought my jokes were bad.
So, and Bridge of Spies, see, I don't know if it would have even made the list, but unfortunately, I saw it in theaters. I just did not have the time to write the Monday movie.
Well, you were doing the play at that time.
Yeah, I was right in the middle of the play.
The Christmas
extravaganza palooza thing. And
Stravapalooza.
And Bridge of Spies was a really cool film about really not letting the pretense get in the way of a relationship, especially when that relationship has the power to save someone.
The power of love.
It really is. Because Tom Hanks' character, I can't remember his name right now. But Tom Hanks' character thought that this Russian spy that everyone was against, this communist spy that everyone was against, he thought there was something more to him. So because of that, he reached out to him and said, "Hey, look, I want to get you back home safely. I don't want you killed over here." Wow. And because of that relationship, it got him back home.
Oh, gosh, so, I can't wait to see this film.
Oh, it's a good one. Okay. It's a good one. And it's very artistic, I'll say that. I mean, it's Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Of course it's going to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, second honorable mention for me, Old Fashioned.
Oh, what's that?
See this was that one Christian movie that came out this year.
Oh.
That I actually thought was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, there were some technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in the very first scene, this just proves the importance of sound editing.
Yes.
Michael, this is going to annoy you when you see it.
Oh.
But the camera pans down on a pair of shoes walking on a wooden floor. You see the shoe hit the ground, and then you hear the... So it's like shoe. it's not that heartbreaking, but it's
inconceivable.
When you see it, you're just like, "Oh, come on, guys." But I really thought the story was a good story. And I would say closer to the types of stories that Christian filmmakers need to start telling.
All right. Well, hey, well, there you go. Then that should be
That's just me. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys could, you know, find another example, but that's just me.
All right. Two honorable mentions from me as well. The first one would be Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah!
Which we covered on Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 42. Remember, we started off the year with the trilogy, Lord of the Rings trilogy. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
That's right.
It was great. So, Return of the King, the third installment, and the big thing about this is the Paraclete.
Whatever it is.
All right.
And who knows?
Brendan, this is a point from your blog post on this episode. In Return of the King, we see Samwise Gamgee as Frodo's own Paraclete. As Frodo grows weaker and weaker under the burden of the ring, Sam is there to help, counsel, and encourage him all the way. Even when frail Frodo won't let Sam carry the burden of the ring, Sam instead picks up Frodo and literally carries him up the mountain. And if that scene doesn't bring tears to your eyes, you're a stone-cold Steve Austin or something. I don't know. Whatever that is.
Oh, yeah!
Okay. Beautiful picture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, out of the NET, the New English Translation, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Do you want to obey Christ's commands? Do you want to carry his commandments properly? Then carry one another's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Be a Samwise Gamgee. I can't carry it, Frodo, but I can carry you. Sam. By our very own Sean Astin, FCC's very own, who is a Christian man. So it's just beautiful that he played that part, because Samwise Gamgee really is the hero of the Lord of the Rings. He really is the hero. And then my second honorable mention, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 69, The Dark Knight Rises.
I didn't know which would break first, your spirit or your body.
And particularly, Selena Kyle is looking for the clean slate.
Oh, man.
Really, she's looking for God. She is feeling in the darkness. All she wants is a... She wants a mulligan. She wants a reset. She wants forgiveness. She wants a life free from her sins. Just like Christian in The Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm.
She has a burden on her back, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
She dwells in the city of destruction. That's Gotham. and she is seeking the only one that can free her. She thinks she's looking for a thing. She's looking for a one. She's looking for a person. She isn't looking for this computer program. She needs that person that can give her complete freedom from the bondage of sin. And enter Bruce Wayne / Batman / Jesus / God, because they are able. I shouldn't even have to say anything after that. They are able to provide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what blew me away about The Dark Knight. Key text for that, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 out of the NILT. But God had mercy on me, Selena Kyle says, so that Jesus Christ could use me as a prime example of his patience. Oh, kindness leading to repentance.
There it is again.
Of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive the clean slate. Receive eternal life.
Mm.
Powerful film. Powerful film. It just so happened that Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi made that point a little more succinctly because it had the father and the son, and it had been building up since episode number one, this catharsis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there you go. Those are my honorable mentions. Brendan, this is my favorite show. This is my favorite episode to do these year end rundowns because we have the chance again to put together, string these movies together. And what an awesome way to share the gospel with your friends. I can't think of a better way in our modern society of doing that. It beats, walking up, hey, do you have a second to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? No, man, that turns people off.
Mm-hmm.
That turns them off because you're kind of being obnoxious to what you're doing. I'm not saying you're bad for doing that. I'm just saying you're doing something that really... the number show doesn't work. It doesn't work. And when there are better ways of sharing the gospel, you don't get off scot-free by saying, well, I went and screamed in somebody's face and that didn't work. So they're just doomed.
Mm-hmm.
They're doomed. No, it does. You know, that's not a get out of, that's not a free ticket there. Oh, good job, God says, for yelling at those people in the face. Whereas you could sit down and develop a relationship with people, and movies is a great way to do that, because mm-hmm. then you have something in common to talk about and discuss.
Well, because everyone likes movies.
Yes.
It's America's favorite pastime.
Well, and it's also, it's an other. You know, it's outside of both of you two, and it's something that you can both look at over here.
True,
and
yeah.
So it's a common ground
yeah.
that's outside of both of you, right? That's kind of a good way of
yeah.
looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. The 2015 Top 10 Countdown. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Oh, no, I'm good.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I try to be. Well-mannered.
Whoa. Have you forgotten how to podcast? We got feedback.
Oh, well, let me do that. Let me rewind
We got
that.
Feedback.
I didn't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the next button. Oh, we have some feedback, do we? We do.
We do.
Okay.
We have some nice feedback this time.
We have a lot of it.
I dare say.
Uplifting and
yes.
all that good stuff. Yes. So patron Saint Philip, well, he needs to take us somewhere. I don't know where it is. How would I know?
Oh!
I don't know.
Who goes there? It is I.
No, I already said Philip. Scatman, I love you, brother. I really do, but... we already said Philip. He's going to take us to King Philip Stables. Left a comment on FCC 85 for White Christmas. Hey, guys, great way to wrap up the Christmas episode. Yeah! I'm glad that he liked that. He says, I got to admit, I don't like musicals as a genre.
Well, that's a shame.
That is a shame.
Philip, what is your life?
And was skeptical about White Christmas going in, but it's also a famous classic I hadn't seen yet, so this was a good time to fill in that blind spot, and I liked it a lot.
Oh, good.
You know, that makes the kids happy.
Those kids got to be careful. They can't come out too much.
He says, it was funny, interesting, and the music was even likable for me much of the time.
It was even likable.
It was even likable.
See, that's how I feel about Star Wars. It's likable.
I don't feel that way about Avatar.
Oh! You don't feel anything for Avatar.
Yeah, I'm drawing blood. Yeah, I do. All right, so he goes, continues on. He says, I caught what Brendan talked about, how Bing Crosby broke character and was laughing during the reprise of the sisters' routine. That was one of the best moments of the film right there.
It really is. Yeah. Yes.
It is great. Also, I was listening to the show on my MP3 player and had paused it for a bit and thought, and a thought that went through my mind was that the film was a little cheesy. And then I resumed play, and Brendan said it was at moments hokey and cheesy, which cracked me up. I agree with Brendan on this point, but hey, I have some hokey and cheese in me too.
Don't we all?
I don't. So I can relate to that, Philip says. The Christian theme that stood out most to me was the song. I meant to touch on this as well, because it's a great song. The song Bing Crosby sang to Rosemary Clooney about counting your blessings. So, of course, we need to go to Philippians. So, Philip suggests Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, out of the net. Yeah! New English Translation. That's the first time I think I can recall Philip quoting out of the net.
He usually goes for the Nikkejava.
Yes, he likes the not King James version. This says it well. Quote, I have experienced times of need and times of abundance. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment. Whether I go satisfied or hungry, I have plenty. Or nothing, I am able to do all things through the one who strengthens me.
Wait, unquote. What does this feedback have to do with playing a basketball game?
Yeah, another one.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
All right, so you know, I do like this part in Philippians because Paul's in jail. Okay, he's in prison.
You mean he's not playing a basketball game?
And
he's not playing, you know, football?
And he's telling the Philippians, hey, I appreciate you guys wanting to send me stuff and all this. I don't need it. I don't need it. So don't even bother with that. I'm fine. It's kind of interesting. I love that. You know,
all this time, I thought he was playing basketball when he said that.
Would you stop with the basketball?
Sorry, I can't help it.
He was tied to an anvil. okay, continuing on. Philip says, I myself am a big worry wart. I really need to do a better job of focusing on my blessings instead of worrying about what may not even happen. Interjection. Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm right there with you. Let's pray for each other on that. Brenda, do you want to jump in on that too? I mean, do you need prayers on that? Or are you fine? You don't worry?
No, I worry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So we'll include Brendan in on that too. In fact, go to the Theonauts prayer site. Hey,
there's a plug.
There you go.
Yeah.
What is it?
On whose prayer site?
The Theonymous. The Theonauts. It's prayer.theonautpodcast.com. I believe that gets you to the prayer site. Sorry, wasn't prepared for that. That was free. That's a freebie. Right there. says, thanks for the show, guys, and for motivating me to watch such a great film.
A likable film.
Hashtag
MoeLoveGimlet.
All right. And then we also got a voicemail coming in.
Brendan and Michael. Hey, first of all, this is Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. And each year I ask my audience what their favorite show is, if they could only listen to one. And this year, a listener of mine voted for you, because I kind of politely asked them not to vote for me. I know that sounds weird. One of my listeners said, you're great. But you can hear why they love your show at the 26-minute and 18-minute mark. If you go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/494, and we've actually taken all these responses and put them into a book. Also, I see where you were in the newspaper. One of my segments is because of my podcast blank. It's a one question answer. And you could easily go over, answer that question about being in the paper, and of course, tell people about your show. You can do that over at schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. But just wanted to say, hey, congrats on being somebody's favorite. And also, just to let you know, I've been trying to use your contact form. I've told it I'm not a robot. It will not let me send this message. So you might want to look into that. So thanks again, guys. Keep up the great work.
All right. So Dave Jackson of schoolofpodcasting.com. You can go over there. You can listen to that episode and listen to John. I mean, what an honor, and very, very blessed by him doing that.
You know, by John doing what?
Well, he called
you mean he called that show and said he really liked our show?
Yeah, that's what Dave Jackson just said on that voicemail.
Wow. Well, he didn't say it was John, but...
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't. I listened for it.
Oh, well, it's just because I just happen to know that that's what it was. And
because because John tagged us in tweet.
Yes, he did.
In Tweeterville.
And so you can get over there and listen. You know, I could have clipped John's comment out of that, but that's not proper. That's not the proper thing to do.
Yeah,
so we'll send you over to schoolofpodcasting.com. You know, he mentioned the contact form on the Christ in Cinema website. I tried it, and it worked. So... I don't know what's going on. Anybody out there, if you could just go to the contact form, you know, that page there at christincinema.com and try sending us an email. Worked for me. So, but anyway, thank you, David Jackson, if you're listening to this. All right. And then we got Philip's not done.
What?
No, Philip had more to say because that last episode was a doozy because it was really two episodes in one. You had White Christmas. And then we had our first initial thoughts on Star Wars, The Force Awakens. So he actually sent in an email on this one. You go ahead and read it.
Yes. He says, hey, guys, I'm emailing this due to spoilers and in case you don't want to read it on the show.
Oh. So if you have not watched The Force Awakens yet, yes, you have. You have. There's nobody that hasn't. Anyway, there will be spoilers going forward.
I loved, Philip continues, The Force Awakens, and it exceeded my expectations so much that it is now my favorite Star Wars film.
Hey, I'm almost there with you.
Hey, it's a likable movie.
Oh, bro.
Crazy talk, I know, he continues, but it gave me so much of what I enjoyed from the franchise and spared me so much of what I don't care for. Like I said, it's pretty likable.
Philip, you're going to hear that from now on.
That might be the new word of 2016. I was a full-blown Star Wars nerd as a kid, but over time, my nostalgia has waned. Oh, that's a good word. Has waned greatly.
Waned?
No.
Oh.
No, sure not. All the hate for the prequels, especially the complaints leveled at it,
Wait. Pay attention to what he's saying right now. This is why I love Patron Saint Philip. Read that again.
Okay. All the hate. Yeah, that hate is a strong word.
Yes.
All the hate for the prequels, especially the complaints leveled at it, that also apply to the original trilogy, have soured Star Wars for me quite a bit.
Okay. So, he's like me. If I'm reading this correctly... All the people, it seems like a bandwagon. It seems like if you're cool and you're intelligent, you have to hate the prequels. Or else you're just some kind of adult, yeah. Right? So the intelligent people, the beautiful people, know that you're supposed to hate episodes 1 through 3, so they all do. And then...
It's like it's the thing to do.
Yeah, really. And man, I get so tired of that because... Well, I mean, I touched on it. I went off the rails last episode. Okay, go ahead.
And while I appreciate the sort of love Michael has for it, some folks are just downright disturbing in their obsession with the Star Wars universe.
You know what? I wish that I had the time and the money to be one of those people. Like, there are folks that have read every single comic book, and there's something like 80... Well, what's now known as legendary universe books and stuff. I've read it, you know, a handful, but I wish that I wish I was able to do that. So anyway, I would like to be more of a fanatic.
So thank you, J.J. Abrams, Philip continues. He knocked it out of the park and brought back my own nostalgia.
And all of us in the same age group, David Gaddy and Philip and I and Patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks, we all feel exactly the same.
I was a bit surprised that you guys think Rey may be Kylo Ren's twin. I got the feeling she's Luke's daughter pretty strongly. Oh.
Well, I do too.
Well. Yeah.
I could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised by either one.
I'm not either. I wouldn't be either.
It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. In fact, I made that case because of her piloting skills. And then, of course, you know, being very strong in the Force.
Well, I mean, you've seen this theory that's come out now.
Nah, I kind of haven't been reading theories.
That she's the reincarnated.
Yes,
oh boy,
that one, yeah.
That's not real, is it?
It's a theory.
Well, who knows? We'll
it's
find
a theory.
Out. We'll find out, won't we?
Anyway, I got the feeling she's Luke's daughter's pretty. She's Luke's daughter pretty strongly. Her Force flashbacks / forwards from touching Luke's lightsaber, the X-wing pilot doll and helmet, and being left on Jakku makes sense after the Jedi program Luke had going was ruined by Kylo Ren.
Yep.
Also, Leia and her seem to have a prior connection, which makes more sense for me that she's her niece rather than daughter, since she was left on Jakku. I think Luke's retreat to an obscure planet better explains why her family did not return for her. Also, R2 coming back from droid depression when she turned up, and her being sent to bring Luke back fit in well with this theory. Thankfully, we only have to wait a year and a half to find out.
Yes, I think that Luke, because obviously in that one flashback scene, Luke put his hand on R2. He was putting something in R2. And I think that he programmed him, you're going to go into a hibernation until this happens. Mm. And at that point, I think that Rey is Luke's daughter. I mean, I want her to be Han and Leia's just to keep with the twins thing, but I'm pretty sure that I'd bet a donut.
I'll bet a donut.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so yeah, I think that's why it was weird, because when I was thinking about like the R2 thing in the movie, that was odd, you know, as I'm thinking. But then when it dawned on me, wait a second, no, Luke has already pre-orchestrated all this stuff, just like he did in Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace. Everything was pre-orchestrated by Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Luke Skywalker. Okay.
Thankfully, we only have to wait a year and a half to find out than the customary 3 years.
He's
wait
been snarky.
That Star Wars has had in the past.
Yeah.
I can imagine you may already have heard this theory a few dozen times, but the film got me so excited, I had to toss in my 2 cents.
Yes.
When this gets its Blu-ray release, I suggest Brendan bring a couple of brown paper bags to the show for Michael to breathe into. Okay, yeah. Lest he pass out from hyperventilation. The GCT in studio may not contain the man's excitement.
Hey, it's Star Wars!
lots of Christian themes going on in this movie. Love the show, guys. # Moeyline Gimli.
Postscript.
Oh, P.S., yes. Oh, yeah. Finn was my favorite character. He was very funny, with great work by John Boyega.
Yeah.
I thought he served well as a bit of an audience surrogate to help us get into the story.
I like how he put that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Very nice way of
yes.
putting it.
Yes. Awesome stuff. Yeah, it's exciting, man. In fact, when I clipped out that video from our live broadcast video, and, you know, usually I truncate our points on the movie that we talked about, but it didn't make sense to do a Christmas movie in January.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to do the Star Wars, just our Star Wars discussion. And so you can go on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GCTNTV. John Wilkerson left a couple of comments on there. The video is called First Thoughts on Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And it's linked in your Monday movie review of The Force Awakens. That's the best place to watch the video. That way you can read Brendan's Monday movie review, then watch our video of Brendan getting excited and hyperventilating. John Wilkerson said, what? That's not how that happened? John Wilkerson said, I think Rey escaped Kylo Ren's slaughter of all the Jedi that Luke was training.
Because she's the reincarnation of Luke's father.
P.S. Well, this was a postscript. This was a second comment. It's possible Finn is in the same situation.
Hey.
They both took to using a lightsaber with no apparent training. Wouldn't it be interesting if Finn, who was stolen as a little kid in order to be a stormtrooper, was actually, before that, was a Padawan?
That's weird.
That's
But it makes sense, though.
It could
make sense, yeah.
But, I don't know if Finn, I'd have to watch it a third time. I didn't catch any indication that he was particularly strong in the Force.
See, okay, my whole thing about Finn is that people
he's fantastic.
How how was Finn, you know, people might say, how was Finn able to hold a lightsaber against Kylo Ren for 5 minutes? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, Finn got all the training he need. One, being a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Now, that's not anything to do with lightsaber specifically, but he knows how to fight.
Yes. Yes.
Finn got his...
Even though he's a garbage man.
Yeah, he was sanitation.
Yes.
Still, though.
He's a stormtrooper.
He's a stormtrooper. He got all the practice he needed with the lightsaber when Kylo Ren's and the stormtroopers attacked Maz Kanata's island or planet, whatever it is. Because that's when he first picked it up. Maz hands it to him. He picks it up, and yeah, he's a little fumbly with it then, but he gets used to it. So the lightsaber battle later, that's just Finn being used to the lightsaber and knowing how to dodge a couple times.
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't last as long as someone who is well-trained does, because he gets sliced right up the spine.
Or somebody that's strong in the Force.
Yeah. You know, to me, it makes perfect sense
that
Finn was able to last as long as he did.
Because
he was taking off stormtroopers left and right with that sucker. So, okay, I'm sorry. That's just me. Tangent, and now we're
back. Hey, great feedback for this episode. Now can I push this button?
Well-mannered frivolity.
See, so, I told you, I can't read these show notes. I don't even, I have these things color-coded so I know what button to push next, and I didn't even do that right.
You didn't even do that.
No.
So all this hubbub about all this hubbub.
More Star Wars?
More Star Wars.
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
I was going to say Christian Engel, but...
Oh, sorry.
Because that's what's on the Monday movie review this week.
Yes.
Star Wars The Force Awakens. And
yeah, you need to get there and read that. Go to ChristInCinema.com. Look that up, because now it's going to be one of the top two articles on there. You know, depending on, you know, if you, well, this is going to be this show's going to be posted on Friday morning. So the Monday movie review will be the second, and you can read his review, watch the video that we were referencing. This really is one of your best Monday movie reviews, and it's not just because it's Star Wars, but it could have influenced slightly my inclination to say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was a bang up Star Wars.
As long as it's likable. As long as it's likable. Yeah, that's all I'm going
with. Which really is
tolerable.
Tolerable.
But that's this week on the Monday Movie Review. Yes. Next week is Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed's son.
Yes, sir. And whose name is Adonis.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, that's clever. I like it. But he goes by Donnie.
Okay.
He's played by Michael B. Jordan.
I've heard nothing but good things about this film.
See, I really hadn't heard anything because it came out in like November.
Yeah.
And when it first came out, I'm like, oh yeah, people are loving Creed, but then everyone's just too excited for Star Wars.
Yes.
So it kind of faded out. Yeah. But now everyone's got Star Wars out of their system.
Nobody is ever going to release a movie in the same month as Star Wars ever again.
They better not.
Yeah, that's silly.
So, or in the 2 weeks prior, like what happened with this.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because I really wanted to see Victor Frankenstein, but...
No. Oh, he's in Creed?
No. Sorry.
Oh.
Tangent. Getting lost in the mind palace.
Yes.
Hashtag Sherlock.
Whatevs.
Creed, great movie. Sylvester Stallone, he's rocky as ever. He's as rocky as ever. And it's just a good thing. I'll talk more about it in the review.
All right. I, you know, in our break, I spent some time catching up on the kind of movies that I like to watch.
Aww.
And so it's been years since I watched Casablanca. So I watched Casablanca. Oh, man, I love Casablanca. What's that face?
Play it, Sam.
One more time. It's not played again. But anyway, so you have, of course, you have Bogey, Humphrey Bogart. Mm. You have, Ingrid Bergman.
Yes. Was that a brain fart?
Yes. I'm old. Claude Rains. And then that little cameo with Peter Lorre, which I wish he was in for longer. But just a fantastic film. And so then I'm all, okay, yeah, now I'm on a Bogey kick. So I watched a film that I had never watched before. And this was on Amazon Prime or Netflix, one of those two.
Not sponsors.
Humphrey Bogart and his lovely wife, Lauren Bacall, in Dark Passage.
Mm.
From like 1948. 46 or 48. I think 48. And it is, if you've never seen this film, the first hour is shot from Bogart's point of view. It's like first-person shooter.
That's weird.
Yeah. But there's a reason for it.
Oh.
Got to watch it. This is classic film noir. Great stuff. Any movie, I'll just put it this way. Any movie where all the men are wearing fedoras and all the ladies are dressed classy, it's just a good movie. It's just a good movie. So I wasn't done there, Brendan.
Oh, no.
And I moved on right from there. I proceeded to high society. Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Grace Kelly, and loads more with Fun and Frivolity. This was the musical version, the remake version of the Philadelphia Story.
Mm.
And just fun. You know, when you get Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby together on, you know, on camera, it's going to be great. So those are the kind of movies I like to watch, and so I did. And then, of course, we talked about The Martian. So.
Yes, yes. Well, speaking of Amazon Prime, not a sponsor, I didn't realize they were streaming Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been watching that.
Oh, good.
Like starting from the top. I didn't realize. Yes. I never realized that the first episode ever is Where Is Everybody?
Yes.
And, you know, it, like, just watching them in order now, I'm like, okay, now I'm seeing how this progresses from top to bottom, you know, yeah. Or from...
So what's your favorite so far?
So far, I haven't... season one has 36 episodes. Yeah. I don't know what I'm at. I think I'm, like, on 11 now. Let's see. I can't think of what the title is, but it's the one where this this convict, he's been sentenced to live on another planet.
Yes.
And the captain that's, you know, responsible for bringing him supplies, survival supplies, he brings him a robot.
Yes.
Or as they say in the episode, a robot.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
That's good storytelling right there.
And
high drama.
Yeah. But then the one where the ad executive from New York, he visits his old town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he realizes, oh, this is all just a memory.
Yeah.
That one's really, I can go on for a lot of them.
Yeah.
But those two are really sticking out to me right now. So
I love,
ask me next week and I'll tell you.
We're what going I'm to keep, we'll keep, make this an ongoing segment. Cause I love Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Great story. I love short stories.
Yeah.
You know, and most,
and that's what they are. They're, well, they're short
and,
stories.
And many of them are based on short stories. So,
yeah.
And Rod Serling was a great storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
And he was able to take other people's stories and adapt them to television. Just awesome. Anything else? Any other well-mannered frivolity?
Oh, plenty of it.
Oh,
plenty
goodness.
Of it. It was a big break. Also on Amazon Prime, I happened to watch a little Brendan Gleeson and I think it was made for HBO in the film Into the Storm.
Ooh.
And now, it's not to be confused with the Into the Storm movie that came out in 2014 with Richard Armitage. Different movie, different story altogether. This one focuses on Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And his involvement with the Allied powers.
Brendan Gleeson?
Yes, as Winston Churchill.
Whoa!
Yes, it is great.
Okay.
It is great. You just need to see it. If you like the history stuff, definitely check it out.
Alrighty.
Now, moving on to a podcast that I've stumbled upon. And it's not really a podcast, as it is just a collection of audio sermons and lectures recorded for people that like N.T. Wright. And, you know, there's the N.T. Wright quote podcast on Stitcher. I'm sure it's available elsewhere, but I'm listening to it on Stitcher. And there are four episodes that are his four lectures at the C.S. Lewis Institute in 2002. And I couldn't tell you why I started listening to him, but I did.
You just reminded me of my lightning round.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. Okay. But I would highly suggest, and this isn't my lightning round, but I'm suggesting it for people, listen to his lectures at the C.S. Lewis Institute. The episodes are always entitled Jesus and the something something.
Okay.
Or Jesus, the something, and the something. And the one that's really getting me right now is Jesus, Israel, and the cross.
Okay. Oh, goodness.
Because the main message of that lecture is that people always talk about this personal relationship with Jesus, but you can only understand the personal when you understand the theological. And you can only understand the theological when you understand the historical.
All right.
So he's making that connection, like this is where I talked about Mark 10:45 earlier in this episode. Before Mark 10:45, you know, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Before that one particular personal verse, there are four different political and historical verses before that. So he's trying to encourage people to contextualize their reading of Scripture, to really put it in the proper historical frame of reference, and then from that, get their theological standpoints, and then from those, find out what it personally means to them.
All right.
And it's a powerful little collection of sermons.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah. Okay, now biggest news that happened over the break, but actually doesn't start until next Monday for me. Classes for grad school.
Oh!
So, they're at Regent University. It's the spring and fall semesters will be online, but the summer there's a good chance I'll be studying on campus.
Which is? Where?
In Virginia.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Virginia, Virginia Beach, to be specific.
Oh! So, everybody keep Brendan in your prayers.
Yes, prayers mucho appreciated for that. Appreciated. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, it's using theater in ministry. That's what I've been wanting to do my whole life. So.
Amen, brother. Anything else?
No, I'm ready for some lightning round.
The lightning round! Let me do mine first before I forget.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis. Okay, I discovered a podcast that's been around for a while, but I didn't know about it until I started corresponding with the host of this. It's called All About Jack.
Hey!
Yes. All C.S. Lewis, and this is for the intellectual crowd. This is for the university crowd. This is for people that like to study and high textual criticism and things like that. All About Jack, C.S. Lewis, William O'Flaherty. This is a good podcast. It's a wonderful podcast. You want to listen to if you are a C.S. Lewis fan. You want to listen to All About Jack.
Oh, that was lightning.
Hey, that's what this is supposed to be, 60 seconds or less.
Oh, there you
go. See if you could do that.
Yeah, I'll try. Starting now on YouTube, NPR's music, Tiny Desk Concerts. These are 15...
Just like flea circus things? Or
No, not that tiny. No.
Oh.
See, you're encroaching on my minute.
Oh, you're out of time.
They're just... Oh! they're 15 to 20 minute concerts. They bring in different bands, and they seriously just play... At some public library in Washington, D.C.
And is everybody going, shh?
No, they're enjoying the music.
It's in the library?
Yeah, it's in the library. Shh. Yeah. But the one specific concert that I've linked to in the show notes.
Madam Librarian.
No.
Marian?
Is that ever going on the list?
Music Man?
Yeah.
By all means.
Okay, good. It'll be a good summer smash.
Yeah.
Anyway, the concert that I'm pointing you all to is that.
Oh, you're out of time.
Nickel Creek.
Nickelback.
Nickel Creek. I'm saying that very specifically. Nickel Creek.
Okay.
Not Nickelback. We're not looking at this photograph.
Whatever that is.
Look at this photograph.
Okay.
No? Okay. All right. All you youngsters out there, back me up on that one. But go watch Nickelback's concert. Oh, I said it. Go watch Nickel Creek's concert with NPR Music's Tiny Desk concert on YouTube.
All
link
right.
In the show notes. Go to it.
There you go. Brendan, what is coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Well, Michael, we got to get back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Let's do it! With what?
With Ant-Man.
Oh!
We're going to look at Ant-Man.
All right.
A little Paul Rudd action. A little Michael Douglas.
Yes.
I'm excited we can finally call him.
And what's that gentleman's name? And he was in The Martian. Michael Pena? Or?
Oh, Michael Pena.
Yeah, I love him.
Pena or something.
I think it's Pena.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ant-Man and then what?
Well, after that, we got a special guest coming to the studio.
Oh,
Lee Scott. Lord willing, and nothing bad happens.
Yeah. Tentatively, it's penciled in. Anything could happen. But after Ant-Man, we should have Lee Scott from Escondido, California, coming into the studio via Skype so that we can talk about Amazing Grace and use that opportunity to introduce listeners to the brand new show on Finding Christ in Cinema that's set to debut in February and tentatively titled, it's called The Worship Show.
There you go. Now, really quick, just so you know, for those of us who want to be prepared for that show, where can we get Amazing Grace? Is it streaming? Is it?
You can get Amazing Grace from God at any time. If you have not, what?
The movie.
Oh, I don't know.
The movie.
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look into that yet.
Okay. Anyway, after Amazing Grace, yes, we're going to go ahead and just talk about The Martian.
Oh, let's do it. So we're bumping Maze Runner.
Yeah, we're going to bump Maze Runner.
And put The Martian in there. Good. Because I bought it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's on sale on Amazon. And they gave me all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
They gave me Kung Fu Panda.
I need to check that out.
Yeah.
Is it still going on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, and then after The Martian?
No more are we procrastinating.
What?
In getting back to the Wizarding World.
Yes! Let's go back!
We're gonna pick it back up with Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
All right.
Hopefully, we're going to have all 8 films done on the podcast just in time for
Fantastic Beasts
and Where to Find Them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So,
how exciting. All right. And all of this excitement, you can join us. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. Now, to witness...
Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational...
digital ministry with a Christian angle. Including all 80... What? Oh, yeah. Including all 86 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Review, and links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. You can send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line if you are inclined to do so at 507-407-GCTN.
Hey, Scott!
For those without letters on the phones, that's 507-407-4286.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Now, let's say you want to listen to the podcast,
but you
don't like comedians.
Well, no.
In fact, you hate them.
You know, I hate comedians.
You love duct tape.
I love duct tape.
And you like falafel.
Well, I don't like falafel.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, and you can go to TuneIn Radio by searching them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Oh no.
That's shocking.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theononon. What are you doing?
Theononon. I was looking at those Amazon deals.
Oh, knock it off. Just get over to the official website over at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
He was tied to an anvil.
I like to whisper, too.
And that is a wrap!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
I thought my jokes were bad.
You know, I hate comedians.
It's stuff like this that gives them trust issues.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
It's a trap!
Oh, and you know who I miss? Potatoes.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network. This is your Great Commission Transmission at gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Little Spock Star Wars water.
Pizza. Huh?
See, you give me time off, and I forgot. How do you podcast?
Oh, you had plenty of time playing that cigar box guitar, but...
Yeah, well, hey, you know, as I'm sitting around waiting for you, my brain went numb.
Bone saw's ready.